Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after. Thanks very much for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. We got Joan Pride with us, folks. I know you're excited about that, too. And Joan is a senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. She joins us every week about the same time, almost exactly the same time, to talk to us about what Kiplinger has to say about what's going on in the world. Joan, welcome back.
Jim, good to be back.
It's good to have you back. It's living the dream for you, isn't it?
As always. Never changes.
Hey, Joan, I know we got a whole wonderful raft of things to talk about with Kiplinger's letter this week. But before we do that, I want to talk a little bit about the about President Obama's State of the Union speech, which was last night.
Right.
And I dissed you a little bit in the previous segment, and I want to apologize. I told the audience that I suspected you probably didn't listen or you didn't listen to much of the speech last night.
Well,
I forgot that prior to this one, all the others for the last several years were Bush's, and those are the ones that you didn't want to listen to, right?
Yeah, but yeah. You know, I have to say, he did go on for quite a long time.
I finally,
when I heard what I was waiting to hear, then I stopped listening, which was about, I think, 5 after 10.
Yeah. There was something though that went on in the speech that you said you think most people probably didn't notice.
Well, there was a point in the speech, and I didn't know about it until I read about it in the paper this morning. There was a point in the speech where the president talked about a recent Supreme Court decision that struck down campaign finance law.
Yeah.
And would now allow, I guess, corporations and others to make, I guess, unfettered contributions to individual candidates.
100-year law that's been struck down is what he said.
Right. Now, when he was saying that, they were panning over to the Supreme Court, and I was watching, and they were sitting there.
They were sitting right there,
But somebody caught Justice Samuel Alito, a Bush appointee, saying, not true, not true.
Ah, I missed that
because
part.
The president was complaining about what he said the effect of the decision
would
be.
Right, right. See, now, this your point is well taken because, I mean, I've been watching, since me not having a life, I've been watching State of the Union speeches a long time.
That's sad.
Yeah, and so I've never seen a time when a president had a little dust-up with the Supreme Court before.
I couldn't even imagine the Supreme Court.
Weren't you surprised that he even brought that up with him sitting right there?
Well, I would think it made for an awkward moment because they all looked very stone-faced.
Well, of course, they did. They look stone-faced.
But they look stone-faced anyway.
All the time. But they are stone-faced.
Yeah, I mean, it took a lot of... It was the audacity of whatever, but... You know, they couldn't have been more. They're right in the front.
They're right there.
So
yeah.
He's talking right to them.
My wife pointed that out as we were watching. She said, you know, that's pretty unusual right there, isn't it? And I said, yeah, it is.
Oh yeah.
So, but I did not know about Alito mouthing the words not true. Obviously, he was in the majority.
In the five, not the four.
He was in the majority that Mr. Obama didn't like.
Yes, I don't think he delivered the. He was not the one who wrote the opinion. I don't believe.
Right. Okay, so that's an interesting point, and that's an unprecedented moment, I think. Mm-hmm. Certainly in modern times, Joan. I'm not going to go into all the details about my thoughts on the speech because I did that in the last hour, but I do want to ask you your opinion from a tax standpoint. What did you think about his tax policy ideas for creating jobs?
Well, I've heard them before, of course.
Yeah.
That's probably the main thing to say. But the one thing I was waiting to hear, and I wasn't being facetious when I said I turned it off after I heard what I wanted to hear.
Yeah.
I was waiting to hear what he would say about the Bush tax cuts because there's been a lot of speculation.
He didn't say anything about it. He didn't say anything about him.
Yes, he did. He made a very brief reference at about 5 after 10. If you blinked, you missed it. He made a reference to helping middle-class families and continuing the Bush tax cuts for them, but not for people.
Oh yeah, no, yeah.
Making over, he said, $250,000 a year. Normally he says $200,000, but in this case he said $250,000.
I did hear him say that.
Yes, he did, but I mean, it was one sentence. It just zoomed. Yeah. He just zoomed right past it. And there's been speculation in the Capitol recently that he might suggest a temporary extension of the Bush tax cuts for everyone just to get us past the hump of this election year.
Yeah. Well, he didn't say that last night.
No, he didn't say that. He stuck with his original... I don't think the idea of a temporary extension is dead, but he stuck with his original plan, which was just to extend them for what he calls the middle class.
Well, and see, the thing is, the point that the things that I identified last hour, Joan, were the things that he mentioned that I think were good ideas, but were short on substance. But then I talked about also about the things that he said that were actually negative. In my opinion, that comment was more negative than positive, because, Joan, every small business owner that makes over $250,000 doesn't like that, and they're the ones who really create most of the jobs. Every small business owner that's under $250,000 wants to get to $250,000.
Right, and for them, you know, there's a lot of different Bush tax cuts, but the one we're focusing on in that case is the increase in the top rate, which is now 35%.
That's right.
That would go up to, the top rate would go up to 39.6, and then you'd also have, I believe, a 36% rate.
Exactly. But Joan, also, he talked about small business tax credits for hiring, but there were no details. Joan, we've been hearing small business tax cuts for hiring for 6 or 8 months. Nobody's ever come up with the detail.
And I'm surprised he brought it up, just because, you know, this was floated a few months ago,
yes,
the last time they did stimulus, and it was shot down because, and there was just a story in one of the newspapers yesterday, I believe, was either in the New York Times or the Washington Post, talking about the difficulty of managing and dealing with a tax cut like that.
Yeah.
I mean, there have to be ways to do it. I think one, the newest idea was just to simply waive all Medicare and Social Security, you know, all payroll taxes for anyone hired, you know, who had been unemployed.
But Joan, based on what you're saying, and I agree with you, the point is that the essence of this is that he keeps bringing it up as if we're still believing it, as if we would still believe that we're going to get anything from it. I mean, he's saying it like, if I just say the words, it'll make people hire more people. If small businesses hire more people, it don't work like that. We're a little smarter than that.
Well, I think a State of the Union is, I don't think you could, I think what he has to do, and what, you know, hopefully he will do, you know, his budget is coming out on Monday, and that's where you're going to see all the details.
Yeah.
You know, if he put flesh on the bones of everything he talked about last night, we'd still be sitting there listening to the speech.
Which wouldn't be so bad if it was the first time we'd heard about it. As you said a minute ago, we've already
heard. Well, again,
heard
I don't know how he goes into detail in the middle of a State of the Union speech. However,
well,
if he doesn't have details in his Treasury Green Book next Monday, then I think that is a problem. But if you all would subscribe to the Kiplinger tax letter, you're going to find out about that as soon as we write about it.
Instantaneously, right?
Yes.
Right there in your inbox.
Absolutely.
But the other, we're going to talk. I want to talk a little bit more about this with Joan. We got a few more things I want to get out of her, especially along the tax areas. I want to talk about capital gains and a couple other things after these messages. 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us.
Hell, the little things you say and do make me want to be with you. Rain on it, crazy feeling.
Welcome back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for using it to your advantage. We built it just for you. And hope you check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter while you're there. Check out our blog. Knowledge base is there. Ask questions, get answers, lots and lots of stuff there at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Joan Pride is our guest. She's with the Kiplinger Editors, senior editor there. And we're talking about, right now we're talking about the our response to the President's State of the Union speech, especially along the lines of taxes. Joan, in the previous segment we talked about the top rate, you know, the raising taxes on people above $250,000, the tax credit for hiring. I think that's a good idea, but we have no details yet. Capital gains was another thing he keeps mentioning, and here's the thing that bugs me about this, Joan, or I think it's just so unfortunate for anybody to throw out cutting capital gains for small businesses and act like you're supposed to get an attaboy for that, in my opinion, demonstrates how little they really understand about the realities of a small business. Joan, you know yourself that 99.65% of all small business tax returns have no capital gains on it.
I think that's a very Washington thing.
But that's my. But I agree with you. Oh, I mean, I agree. I'm not just. It's not just him. But I mean, this to me, if you're a small business owner and you're hearing that, And this person is delivering this and acting as if you should get giddy because I'm giving you these capital gains tax. Well, you know what? I like capital gains when I sell real estate, but I don't sell real estate every year. I like capital gains when I sell capital gains cuts when I sell stocks. But small businesses don't, you know, we put a lot of our money in our businesses, not as much in stocks. And so, and until we die or until we sell our businesses, which happens once a year, you know, once in our lifetime, then capital gains are not that big of an issue. It's something that's frankly embarrassing for them to show that to demonstrate that or give us something like that as if we're supposed to be excited about it and think that that makes us want to go hire more people. It's totally ineffective.
Well, did you tell them that?
I did last hour, and I'm doing it again right now, but they're not listening because I've been saying this now for over a year, and Joan, they keep saying it. I mean, you think somebody in the administration would go to them and say, hey, guys, that's not really a good one. You know,
well, and the Republicans seem to like it, too.
Well, I didn't say that they knew any more. But anyway, I just think it's unfortunate, and it shows me, Joan, that these ideas for small businesses that they're running out for small business, they're not being vetted by small business groups. That's what it demonstrates to me, and I think that's just unfortunate. And Joan, what did you think about the $30 billion to community banks for small business loans?
Well, I mean, it sounded good to me, but I'm not in the business as you are.
Well, it's the thing is, Joan, is number one, I don't think the banks want that money. Number two, they don't need it. They got all the money they need to loan money. The problem is not that they need more money to loan. The problem is small businesses aren't asking for that. They aren't asking for loans.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's interesting. What did you think about the nuclear power thing? How about that?
I missed that.
Excuse me, he talked about he thinks we should start with increasing our nuclear power.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. He also said oil and gas exploration. Those words came out of his mouth, Joan.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Like that, yeah.
You're
wow.
excited? That makes you excited, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
But seriously, don't you think the nuclear power thing is a good idea?
Are you not
a fan of nuclear?
I don't know. I mean, I'm really not sure.
Well, you know, it's being used all over the world, and we haven't built a new place in a nuclear plant in over 30 years.
Yeah.
So I think let me put it this way, that's the kind of language, maybe without details, that I actually thought was good because it showed progress.
Yeah.
A lot of people wondered whether he would tack to the right after the political losses that he's experienced over the last few months.
Yeah.
He didn't really do that, did he?
Well, I mean,
to the
you're
center,
telling me
the
about
center.
Nuclear power and a couple of other things. That sounds...
That's a little to the right. That's
a little
I agree.
To
that's,
the right.
That's a little to the center.
Yeah.
But he did double down, as they say, on his health care bill, didn't he?
Yes.
Were you surprised at that?
No.
You thought he would stick to that? And also the cap and trade bill, right?
I missed that, too.
He doubled down on that one, too.
Okay.
Yeah, he went right for that.
Yeah.
And so I was surprised that he because those, Joan, those are things that small business owners don't like.
Okay.
In general, they don't like those. Mm-hmm. We don't like those two. And that makes us not want to hire. But another thing he said that I thought was really good, he's talked about the trade agreements. Did you hear him talking about that?
Oh, right, yeah.
He even mentioned Colombia. Did you notice that Nancy Pelosi did not clap? She didn't spring off of her seat with a high five on the Columbia trade because his Democrat leadership have been preventing the Columbia trade agreement.
Ah.
But he mentioned that, so I thought that was good.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun, Joan, to see him and his own party go best two falls out of three on some of these things over the next year.
Yeah, because he said to both parties, you got to work with me. And he made it clear he wasn't just talking to the Republicans.
Wouldn't it be wonderful, Joan? I mean, you know, the moon would be in the seventh house and Jupiter would align with Mars if he actually became the broker between the Republicans and the Democrats.
Well, he has an example of that behavior in a sense.
Am I dreaming? Could that happen?
Well, it's called triangulation.
Yeah.
He might do it.
And so we take a page out of Clinton's book, right?
Exactly.
Hold on to that thought, John. We're going to be right back, folks. We're going to talk about your people, making sure that you maximize the people that you have left. We'll come back after these messages.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.